Christ is risen.
He is.
Yeah, indeed he has. I hope you have good memories of this day when you were growing up. One of my memories is I have three sisters and a brother. As them wearing their hats and their white gloves. I was watching today. I didn't see any gloves today. It was one of the memories. Did your girls used to dress like that back? Yeah, I thought so. Ed, you had a lot. It's one of the greatest memories. Now, I was telling home group last Sunday, my memory related to that was that me and my brother were notorious for getting into things, and him more than me, of course. That was a halo. But my mom would make us dress last and then put us in a chair and threaten us within an inch of our life not to move until we got in the car, because she knew that if we went outside, it would be ball game over kind of thing. So I remember my mom getting right up close to me with her finger out, don't move. And it was a scary moment in time to think that, because, you know, our school pictures, me and my brother always had scratches. I mean, it had scratches on it because we fought all the time. So, so Mom knew that if she let us go. But I hope you have good memories of this day. It's a great day, isn't it? It's more than just tradition and all that. It's the day that since Christ came out of the grave, it validated who he said about himself. That was it, right? If he had one sin, that grave would have held him. And that's why if a person dies today without their sin being forgiven, they'll stay in the grave. Because it's a sin that separates us from God, isn't that right? That's what the Bible says. And so since Jesus came out of the grave, then it validated everything he said about himself. Everything God had said about him in the Old Testament too, in the fact that he truly was sinless. And then he says, one of the most miraculous things, he says, since I have risen, you'll rise too. And that's the hope we have as Christians today, isn't it? That's the hope we carry with us every day. Is the sense that, I may die one day if Jesus doesn't come back for me first. But in that, I have an assurance from him. And I was with somebody this week, and we were talking some spiritual things, and they said to me, I said, so what about heaven? And they said something that I've heard 1,000 times. You have too. I'm going. And they were sincere in that. And I said to them, you know, you don't have to hope. You can know. Because the Bible tells us that we can know. And that's what we celebrate today, is the fact that Christ went to the cross and died there. Then they buried him and he rose. If we put our trust in him and we believe in what God did for us there, then our sins are forgiven. And then God sees me in a weird way, perfectly clean. As if I've never sinned a day in my life. That's crazy that God sees me that way. But he does. And because of that, if I fall off this chair and die right now, I'm going to go be face to face with God. And he's going to say, welcome home, Toby, come on. And I hope I hit the golf ball straight up in heaven. Man, I'm really hoping. It hasn't happened yet, but I'm hoping that'll be the case. So thank you, Brent, for reading today. I would like to go into a couple verses in 2 Corinthians and just show you a couple things. Actually, it's 1 Corinthians, right at the beginning, chapter 1. If you have your Bible, if not, I'll read it to you. Don't take my word for it. That's why it's good to have your own Bible and read it. I'm such a bonehead. I think I wrote it down. It's 2 Corinthians. I'm sorry. Whoopsies. 2 Corinthians was written by the Apostle Paul, right? A missionary who traveled about sharing the gospel. And the word gospel simply means good news. And so Paul is traveling about sharing the gospel, sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. So here's 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 8. And kind of jump right in. Paul's speaking. He says, for we do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, about our trouble which came to us in Asia. We know that, God bless you, as Turkey, that we were burdened beyond measure, above strength, so that we despaired even of life. Yes, we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead. Verse 10, who delivered us from so great a death,
and does deliver us, in whom we trust that he will still deliver us. And you also helping together in prayer for us, that thanks may be given for many persons on our behalf for the gift granted to us through many. Oh, here, let's pray. Lord, thanks for your word. Thanks for the hope we have in you today, this morning. And I pray that we would hear your voice really clearly today, Lord. A voice that says throughout the scriptures, and it says consistently to us, I love you. You're special to me. I want to know you in an intimate way. Thank you for that voice that speaks clearly to our heart, Lord. May we hear your love for us this morning through your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So on one of Paul's missionary journeys, he goes into what we know today as Turkey. And he's going through some real hard times, as you heard me read that. I mean, he's being put down. He's about wiped out. He had so many challenges that, notice there in verse 8 at the end, he says he despaired even of life. And I hope when we read verse 8, you can get a sense that Paul's speaking from experience as to why he's going through this. No one really knows why. It could have been a riot that was happening in Ephesus that they almost ruined the work of God there. He was stoned in a town called Lystra and left for dead. It could have been that. It could have been his burden for the churches and the challenges that way. Who knows why he was dealing with his emotions? But we know by reading those couple of verses that things got so bleak for Paul that he felt like he was going to die. And maybe you can relate a little bit to that this morning. Maybe you've been in a place that's pretty low, beaten down. Maybe even feeling like I'm wiped out. I got nothing to give. Perhaps you're a place where despairing even of life. Because all the troubles that you've been going through, listen, Paul's troubles were great. So much so that he not only despaired of life, but you look on down there a little bit, actually above in the middle of 8, it talks about him being burdened above measure. And the Greek word there, phrase, is really interesting. It literally says pressed beyond measure. And if you're living in those times and you wanted to get some grape juice, you'd gather a bunch of grapes, put them in a vat, and stomp on them and press them down out of measure. That's the term. And maybe you feel like that today. A grape that's been stomped on. Now, how do you know if you feel that way? Well, when a grape gets stepped on, it lets out a little whine. Now, that's a groaner. I wrote it down again. I didn't want to miss it. It lets out a little whine. Well, maybe you've been stepped on, and maybe you're, you know, in a place where you've been whining a little bit. And listen, this is exactly where Paul is, right here, despairing of life, feeling burdened beyond measure. It reminds me of a young mother. She wrote this. It was one of the worst days of my life. The washing machine broke down. The telephone kept ringing. My head ached. The mail carrier brought a bill I had no money to pay. Almost to the breaking point, I lifted my one-year-old into his high chair. I leaned my head against the tray and began to cry. Without a word, my son took his pacifier out of his mouth and stuck it into mine. I'm not sure Paul's in that place. I don't know. I kind of took a little liberty there. But we see in verse 9 the reason for Paul's troubles and tribulation. See, there was purpose for Paul's pain and suffering, that we might rediscover, it says in 9, the hope of the solid ground that he has in his relationship with God. The hope of the solid ground that he has in his relationship with God. Reminds me of a story that I know of in college. A buddy of mine was a fraternity member, and they were kind of hazing their new pledges. So they took one of their new pledges out to the country, an old abandoned well, and they give him a rope. And in the bottom of the rope was a loop where he could put his foot in. And they told him, we're going to lower you down into this well just for a minute or two, and then we'll pull you right back up. So the pledge puts his foot in the rope, and they begin to let him back down just so he could stand on it for a bit. And they lower him down and out. Well, they had greased the rope so he couldn't get himself back up. And so they lower him down 15, 20, 30, 40, 50 feet down, down, down. And as he looks up, all he can see is that hole with the little light and the fraternity members looking down at him. So he's kind of freaking out a little bit. And he yells up to the guys, "Okay, guys, let me up. Come on." But they took the rope and they tied it to a bar and they put the bar over the top of the opening and they yell down to him and say, "Hey, you know what? We'll be back in a while." And they walk away. And so there's this pledge way down into this well holding on to this rope. Well, after a couple minutes, you know, he's kind of freaking out. It's dark. He can't see anything below him. All he can see is that hole up there. And his arms, you know, get to shaking, and his leg gets to shaking. He's yelling up at the guys, "Come on, guys, this isn't any fun anymore. Come on, guys, let's go. 10, 15 minutes go by. At 20 minutes or so, they say that he got to the point that he couldn't hold on anymore. So he lets go, and he drops 3 inches. The guys knew the depth of the well. Now, we're country folk, and I know we shouldn't do it, but we used to do stuff like that. You know the depth. And so they went down, and then when the guy fell, he come to the end of his rope, and when he fell, you know what he found? Solid ground. Solid ground. And I think that's what Paul's talking about here, because I think what he's trying to encourage us is maybe some of us, we're trying to hold on to something, some dream or some relationship, or something, and because of it, we're hurting or we're struggling, and we've come to the end, and we're not sure we can hold on any longer. Why is this happening? Why has the Lord allowed this relationship to go sour? Why did God allow the job to collapse or the dream to die? What's the reason? Paul tells us here that one of the reasons for him, what happened in him and his buddies in Asia, is so that they wouldn't trust in themselves, but they trust in God who raises people from the dead. And see, that's exactly what God wants to do in our lives. He does. Because we all experience tough times. And some are very, very dark, very hard. And we've seen death happen. Dreams, visions, hopes, friendships, relationships, family things. Some things have died in our life. But the Lord wants to deliver us from this great death. You see, Jesus raises the dead. He takes that which is dead and he raises it back to life. That's the message of Easter. Amen? That's the message of Easter. The dead are raised because Christ is our deliverer. And if you notice down a little in verse 10, it talks about, who delivered us from so great a death and does deliver us, in whom we trust that he will still deliver us. So Paul's saying, we've gone through hard times and there's death all around us, but we've discovered the deliverance of God. And what he's wanting to encourage us in those simple verses is that we too can come to the place that we discover the deliverance of God. And in those verses there, actually verse 10, we see three ways that it happens: past, present, and future. If you notice the verse, notice it says, he delivered us from so great a death. Past tense. How has God done that? Well, Jesus Christ bore all my sins on the cross. He delivered me from the penalty of my sin. And the Bible says that the wages of sin is death. And maybe we can sit here today and we think, you know what, I'm really not that bad of a person. Compared to Charles Manson, I'm a choir boy. You know, compared to the person down the cubicle from me, I'm great. But God says that we're all sinners. And we've all made mistakes. And every time we sin, it causes separation. So it just takes one, it causes separation from a holy God. And because of that, we're going to spend forever separated from God unless we recognize what it takes to be forgiven. Suppose this week that every attitude that you had, every thought that you think, every word that you spoke, everything you did was recorded for video. And next week on the screen, we'd show it. Would we be impressed with you? You'd probably say, don't do that. I'd rather die. And I think God would say, you're right, because the wages of sin is death. But here's the point. Jesus Christ died on the cross and took upon himself the penalty for my sin, for your sin. He who knew no sin became sin, right? For you. He's a great deliverer. Man's greatest need is forgiveness, because we've blown it. And God's greatest deed was providing forgiveness. So he sent Christ to the cross to die in our place, take the punishment for us. So not only has God delivered us, but then it goes on to say, you notice in verse 10, it says, and does deliver us, present tense. So not just past tense, it's present tense. He does deliver us. He delivers us presently from the penalty of sin, and he delivers us from the power of sin. See, again, that's the good news of Easter Sunday. It's not just getting together to have some religious exercise, because we've always done it. And it's kind of what we do on Easter Sunday, is we actually dress up a little bit, which is really unusual to see you guys all dressed up. But you kind of look nice. I mean, I wear Christmas and Easter, I wear a tie. I can't say I like it a lot, but I just... And we don't come here seeking some steps toward deliverance. You know, what all the 27 things that I got to do to earn favor with God so that he finally turns and says, okay, you're all right now because you've done A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, you know, all that. It's one step to the deliverer. Amen? It's one step to God. I don't care how long you've run, how fast you've run, how far you run, he's been running right alongside you every step of the way. It's what the Bible says. He's right there. And as soon as you're tired enough that you come to the end of yourself, what Paul's talking about here, and you turn back, guess who's standing right there? God, with mercy, with love, with forgiveness, with grace. I've been waiting for you to turn to me. What did he say to you? And so he not only has forgiven us, he forgives us presently. He delivers us presently from the presence of sin and the power of sin. Because he's risen from the grave. Romans 8:11 says, but if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies. It's glorious. So even though I'm living in this body, I can still experience victory over the things of my flesh because God's spirit lives inside of me. Okay? Now you can say, wait a minute. I know Christians, and they're not very nice people. And they've lied to me, and they've cheated me, and I used to go to church when I was a kid. That pastor was mean, and okay, I'm sorry if that's been your experience. But I got to tell you, you might think we're not good people. We'd be worse if we didn't have Christ living inside of us. You know? I mean, holy moly. We'd be really bad. God is making a difference in our lives. He is changing us. The process of God making us more like Jesus is happening. So my encouragement to you is, you might look around and think, man, these people aren't very nice. Oh yeah, we were a lot worse. And God is working something out in us. And we invite you to join us in that work of God's sanctification, making us look more like him. So Paul then says here that he's delivered us, past tense, from the penalty of sin. He delivers us, present tense, from the power of sin. And notice at the end of verse 10, he says he will deliver us, future tense. God promises to deliver us from the very presence of sin. You know, there's a day a-coming. There's a day a-coming. When we're going to be in heaven, for those of us who've trusted in Jesus for the forgiveness of our sin, and there'll be no more sin. No more sin to pull us down and beat us up and make us feel guilty and all the things that we deal with. But here's the deal. You can only spend eternity with God if you've had your sins forgiven. If you're stained by your sin, when you die, God still loves you, but you can't go be with him forever because God can't be around sin. So that's why he turns to a person at that point in time and says, you must go, and you're forever separated from God. It's really that simple. Don't make it more than it is. God says there's a sin issue. Did you watch the Ten Commandments last night? I find myself pulled there. I don't know why. Charlton Heston and all that, it's on every Easter. For whatever reason, it's on every Easter. You know, I like part of the story. Some of it makes me really sad. But I like part of the story. And the people there and the struggling with Egypt and coming out and the Passover and all that kind of stuff. It's great. But they trusted in a deliverer back then. The one who was going to deliver them from the bondage of Egypt. We need to trust in a deliverer now. Amen? And our deliverer is Jesus Christ, who came and died on that cross to take the penalty for what your sin and my sin deserve. John 3:16, you know this. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. It doesn't say whosoever believes in him and joins a church or ties or, it doesn't say that. It says, I acknowledge, God, that I'm a sinner and I need a Savior. And the Savior that you sent is your Son. And he lived a perfect life. And he went to that cross. And he bore upon himself that day the penalty for my sins. I believe that, God. It's just not some story. It's reality. It's true. I believe that. And then they took him off that cross. They put him in a grave. And then the third day he rose again into heaven. God, I believe. That's what John 3:16 says, right? In other verses. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him would not perish. And that's how we know not God has delivered us, and he delivers us, and one day coming, those of us who put our trust in God, we're going to be face to face with God forever and ever and ever. So here's the point I'm attempting to make. At this point in Paul's life, he wasn't praying for deliverance. He was praying that God would raise him from the dead. Now that's desperate. That's burden beyond measure. But here's the end result. God had brought him to that place so that when he turned to God, he found strength. And he came to the place that he knew where his foundation was. And what he could really rely upon was God's love for him and God's purpose in his life. He could stand on that. He couldn't stand on his own intelligence. He couldn't stand on his own strength. That was bringing him to this place. He turned and he recognized that his strength was found in God. And God does that for us sometimes. He allows suffering to come into our lives. He allows us to be afflicted, maybe physical, maybe emotional. Maybe it comes through relationships or it's business related. And then when we realize, I don't have the answers. I don't know what to do here. I'm drowning and it's only getting worse. What Paul's saying here, the encouragement to us, they turned and embraced the hope in the living God. And that's what he's saying to us. At that point, we're to turn. Say, God, you're the only hope I have. So today, you can be delivered and healed. And maybe things aren't going so well for you. And maybe you are at the end of your rope. You're pressed beyond measure. Right now this morning, feeling like crushed like a grape in a vat. But God has sent you a deliverer. And I believe that God has brought you to today, to this place, on this Easter Sunday, to point you to the one who's delivered you from the penalty of your sin, because he's already paid the price. He's delivering you from the power of sin, because Christ lives in you once you come to know him. And he will deliver you from the presence of sin when he takes you into heaven. That's this message in those three little verses. It's a glorious truth, isn't it? That God raises the dead. And sometimes we think of physically dead. But what I'm trying to encourage you in is a lot of death that's different than physical. And God may want to raise you this morning from that place into a place where you think, you know what, life is worth living. There is hope for me. And there's strength in who God is. So I want to give you the opportunity this morning, just in the solitude of your seat, you know, to say, you know what, God, what Toby says, yeah, I see it here in the Bible, and I believe it to be true. I am a sinner, Lord. I've made mistakes in my life. I acknowledge that. And I recognize that you tell us that sin's going to separate from me from you, Lord. Lord, I put my faith in Jesus for the forgiveness of my sin. That's a simple prayer, but it's a heart praying to God. I want to know you, Lord. And the great news, the cause of great joy in your life will be at that point in time, God steps into your life. And he fills you with a hope that Paul speaks of here, and the hope that you know around other people who are Christians, that there is strength in knowing him. There is power in knowing him. Amen? So here, let's pray together. Lord, thank you for your heart for us. Thank you for the truth of these verses. And you brought a guy like Paul, Lord, one of the most spiritual men that we've ever read about, to a place that he felt like, I think I might even die. Things are so hard. And Lord, I pray that if any of us in this room relate to that, we would hear what Paul says there. That as they turn and embrace you for who you are, that they found that you're the one that raises them from that dead place. And Lord, before you right now, I pray that if we recognize that there are things that are dead in our life, dreams have died, hope has died, my future has died, and I can't see anything but dark. Lord, I pray in just in that place right now in their heart, they would turn to you and say, Lord, I need strength from you. You are my only hope. And that you would raise them up, Lord. Just raise us up into newness of life. And Lord, if any of us, if we've never come to the place that just in this moment that we would say, Lord, I need you. Please forgive me of my sins. I believe in Jesus. And I want to know you as my Savior, and I want to walk with you as my Lord. I pray we'd pray that prayer, Lord. And then the hope is that from that point on, we'll have intimacy with you forever and ever through all of eternity. You'll be right there with us. So we bless you. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.